Christ.
Good job. Victory. I want it. How about you? And we read from Romans chapter 7 this morning, and then in our scripture reading just a moment ago. It's a very special passage to me. It is something that I certainly have experienced. Been there, done that, as I said this morning. And we come to Paul's climactic conclusion of that point when he, almost in a despairing cry, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And the amazing thing to me is there in Romans chapter 7 and verse 25, he has an answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Victory comes through Jesus. And that is a concept that carries us through so much. And yet at times, we need to be reminded of even more. At times, we want to know a few more specifics. How has Jesus done that? And what have I got to do? And so today we've been taking a look at one of the accounts in Scripture found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Back there where all those little Bible stories are really close together. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 we've got Jehoshaphat. One of the good kings of Judah. And yet he is in a terrible dilemma. The Ammonites, the Moabites, the Edomites have raised their armies against Jehoshaphat and the armies of Judah. And Jehoshaphat has the terrible realization that there is no possible way that Judah is going to win this battle. And yet in the end, they do. And what we wanted to look at today was the steps that Jehoshaphat went through for his victory. In fact, there are six of them. The first thing that we recognize this morning, if we want to have victory, is that we must admit that we are powerless. There in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12, Jehoshaphat praying to the Lord says, "Our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." If we want to have the victory, the very counterintuitive, fundamental step, rather than trying to proclaim our own power or impress ourselves or God or anyone else with our power, is to recognize that we are hopelessly lost, that there is no way that we can win the battle, and so we turn to God. Because the second step is believing that God can win the victory, that God is powerful, that the might and the power are in His hand. There in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And verse 6, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 6, Jehoshaphat prays, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you." Jehoshaphat understood that in the face of this terrible horde, his army was not just not quite powerful enough, but completely powerless. But God is completely powerful. And so the victory is going to come by God and only by God, which led us to the third step. And that is that if we want victory, knowing that we can't have victory, but God is powerful enough to have the victory, the third step is that we seek God in every way possible. We seek God in every way possible. There in verse 3, Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. In verse 4, and Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. And of course, we already read there in verse 12 where Jehoshaphat says, "We are powerless, but our eyes are on you." If we want the victory, we must seek God. And we talked about many of the things that we can do to seek God, but understanding that the issue is about our motivation. Why am I doing those things? Am I doing those things because I want to impress God with how powerful and great I am? Or am I doing these things because I know that God is the powerful one, and through these I am seeking that connection to the one who is powerful? We've got to understand that. So the three steps that we went through this morning, for your remembrance and for those like the Paynes who skipped out this morning, we want to make sure that we remember what those first three steps are. Number one, admit that we're powerless. Number two, believe that God is powerful and will win the victory. And number three, seek God in every way possible. But we have some other steps that we want to recognize from this account that happened with Jehoshaphat and this battle that they were facing. I was a little bit leery about leaving us where we were this morning because I know that anytime I start talking about powerlessness, there's always some people that start nail biting and freaking out just a little bit because they're afraid that the conclusion is going to be, if you're saying that we're powerless, then you must be saying that we don't have to do anything and we just sit back and God just does everything and now I can live exactly how I want, I can live recklessly, I can live rebelliously, and it's all going to be okay because God's the one who's going to win the victory. But that is not what happens here with Jehoshaphat. The reality is, in all of the passages in Scripture where we talk about this idea of powerlessness, there's something else that comes along with this. When we are powerless and we're seeking God, that actually leads us to something. And I want you to look in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 14. Jehoshaphat has said, "We are powerless, God. We're seeking you. Our eyes are on you." And I want you to notice that God responds. In verse 14, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 14. "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, 'Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's.'" We've talked about that a few weeks ago. "Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in the battle. Stand firm, hold your position, see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem." The Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jehaziel. He says, look, the victory belongs to the Lord. God's going to win the battle. He is truly strong enough and powerful enough. So you can just go home and not worry about it. Is that what it said? No, that's not what it said. There was actually something they were supposed to do. They were supposed to go out and stand firm and watch God give the victory. So this takes us to step number four. If we want the victory, we've got to do whatever God says. We're seeking the Lord. Our eyes are upon the Lord. And so now when the Lord says, do this, what are we going to do? We're going to do what he says. Why? Why would we do that? Why, if in seeking the victory and seeking the Lord, when he says, go do this thing, why would we do that? I can tell you, it's very simple. We would do that because God's way works. We would do that because God's way works. God's way works the victory. And so if God says, go stand on your head, gargle peanut butter and whistle Dixie and you'll have the victory, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that because God's way works. I'm just going to do whatever it is that God tells me to do. I'm just going to follow his lead. Why? Because my eyes are on him. I'm not powerful enough. It's not within me to gain the victory. It's in God. So if God says, go stand over there, I'll give you the victory, what am I going to do? I'm going to go stand over there. If God says, go sit down over here. If God says, march around the walls 13 times, I'm going to march around the walls 13 times. If God says, take some jars and put some fire in it and blow some trumpets and crash the jars and yell, I'm going to do all of that. And if God says, I want you to go stand firm, watch the enemy, that's what I'm going to do. And that is exactly what Jehoshaphat and the folks who were with him did. They went and they watched the Lord give the victory. They praised him for that victory as he was giving it. But they just did what the Lord said. I mean, I'm just going to do whatever he says. Now, this is the part of this process that we talk about the most. It's this little step in the process that most of our sermons are about. Most of our sermons are about the things that we're supposed to be doing as we're going for that victory. We have all kinds of sermon that talks about the sins that we need to avoid and the righteousness that we need to pursue. We have all kinds of sermons and Bible class lessons that talk about the pattern that we're supposed to follow because we're going to be doing things God's way. And we need those lessons. We need to know. If part of this is just doing whatever he says, what have I got to know? I got to know what he says. And so we have to have those lessons. But because that is where we focus most of our time, too many of us have a little bit of a twisted perspective. And that is that as we hear all those sermons about all the things that we're supposed to do, we might begin to believe that we are the ones achieving the victory because we're doing all those things. We've learned the pattern and we're checking it off. We've learned the sins we're supposed to avoid and we're doing our dead level best and avoiding most of them. We've learned the righteousness that we're supposed to pursue, and we're trying to pursue all of that righteousness. And when it's all said and done, what we're hoping is that we're going to stand before God and we're going to be able to say, I did my best. Look at all of these things that I could have done, but I avoided. And look at all of these things that I pursued. And God, please, don't you think that counts for something? I should have the victory. And when that's the approach that we have, who are we really relying on? We're relying on ourselves. We think that the reason we're doing all these things is to gain the victory ourselves, that we can lay it out before God in some kind of bartered pursuit. Look, God, I'll give up my Sundays if you give me heaven. Is that okay? You know what? I'll not only give up my Sundays, I'll also give up Wednesday night. Is that going to be enough? I'll tell you what, not only will I give up my Sundays and I'll give up my Wednesday nights, but all right, if you're going to make me, I'll give up my drinking too. At what point, God, are you now just going to decide to go ahead and give me heaven? And it just doesn't work like that. The issue here is we're talking about a battle against the indulgence of the flesh. And if we want victory over that, we've got to have our eyes on the Lord and we've just got to do what he says because what he says works. And that's exactly what Jehoshaphat and Judah did in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You know, the interesting thing about it is that if I were Jehoshaphat, it would be really, really hard to say that what I'm going to do is I am going to go out to the battlefield and I'm just going to stand there. And to turn to my army and say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out to the battlefield and just stand there. I mean, I would think, well, look, shouldn't we have some swords or some shields and rattle them and make some noise and try to scare them a little bit? Or shouldn't we run around and maybe confuse them? But what God said was, go there, stand there, and watch. And what did Jehoshaphat do? He just did what God said. And what did God do? God gave him the victory. Which, by the way, leads us to the very next step. See, here's where we are. If I recognize that I'm powerless, but I recognize that God is all powerful and he'll give the victory, so I'm seeking the Lord and just doing what he says, here's the wonderful next step. I can sit there and watch him produce the victory. I can stand there and watch God win the victory. And isn't that exactly what Jehaziel said to them in verse 17? You will not need to fight in the battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. I can't imagine going to the battlefield, not preparing to fight. Not preparing to rely at least somewhat on my own strength and give myself half of a fighting chance, having my sword pulled just in case the army gets a little bit close to me. And yet they did exactly what he said. And so beginning in verse 20, they arose early in the morning, went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. When they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will succeed. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. And what did Judah and Jehoshaphat get to do? They were able to stand there and watch God give the victory. When we seek the Lord and just do what He says, not because doing what He says makes us great, but because we believe He is great, we get to watch His greatness in action. Because God's way works. There's really not much to say about this point. I really kind of want to talk around for a minute just to let this point rest on us for a few moments. Maybe we should just be quiet for a few moments and think about this. That when I admit that I'm powerless and quit trying to impress God with my power, and I believe that He is powerful, and so I rely completely on Him, and I seek Him and just do whatever it is He tells me to do, it works. And He achieves the victory. Can we praise the Lord for that? In fact, guess what step six is? Give the Lord the thanks for the victory. Acknowledge and bless God for the victory. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20. They've won the battle. They've enjoyed the spoils. And in verse 26. On the fourth day they assembled in the valley of Berakah. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of that place has been called the valley of Berakah to this day. My Bible has a little footnote that says Berakah means blessing. The valley of blessing. They blessed the Lord. That is, they acknowledged God. They said good things about God. They praised God about this victory that they had received, knowing that it was God who had accomplished the victory. Here's the key point about this. I'll admit that when you and I are trolling about in the Scripture of God, as we are seeking God, His directions for us are usually a bit more than go stand over there and watch. And so for us, when we hear things like assemble with the saints and avoid immorality and pursue righteousness and read the Word and do these things, by the time we're done, we might begin to think that we're the ones that accomplished the victory. Why did I overcome? Well, I'll tell you why I overcame. Because I went to church every Sunday. Because I opened my Bible and read it every day. And I prayed every day. And I went and spent time with other Christians. And I gave up this thing. And I gave up that thing. And I pursued this. And I pursued that. I'll tell you why I won the victory. I won the victory because look at all these things I've done. And now we've lost sight. And have lost the victory. One of the problems that I have had in the past, if I am dealing with a particular struggle and I make it through a day or a week and I overcome, and if I go for a whole day and don't yell at my kids, which is tough for me, I get done at the end of the day and I say, hey, God, you see what I did there for you? And I think that I have achieved some kind of victory. And I bring that to God as if it's some kind of trophy that He can place on His shelf and be impressed with the victory that I have brought Him. When what I learned from Jehoshaphat is, if I got the victory, it was because God was fighting on my behalf. And if I go that whole day or that whole week without yelling at one of my kids, I need to turn to the Lord and give thanks and praise and blessing to Him. Because when I was face to face with that possibility, that potentiality, that trying to avoid this, I just had to admit I was powerless. And so God, I'm just going to seek You and do whatever You tell me. And when that ends up with me not blowing up in rage at my family, I need to give thanks to God for the victory that He has given me. When we have overcome, that is not something that we bring to God to impress Him. That is something that should impress us with how amazing our God is, because He took someone like you and helped you go a whole day without committing that sin you like so much. And He needs to get the praise and the glory and the honor for that. And as we spend eternity around the throne of God, we are not going to be basking in some type of amazing glory of what we have achieved. We are going to be standing there praising and honoring God for what He has done through us, and giving Him the thanks and the blessing and the acknowledgement. The proverbialist tells us, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Do we understand what that means? In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. If I'm busy trying to get Him to acknowledge me, my paths aren't going to be straight. But if I am acknowledging Him and His power and His grace and His ability and His strength and His work, He will straighten out my paths. Anybody here want to walk on straight paths? And so, I need to give the thanks to the Lord. Is there some victory that you've had today, this week, this month, this year? Have you acknowledged God on that? And have you given Him the thanks and the glory and the blessing and the praise? Because He's the reason that's happened. We just did what He said. Jehoshaphat, 6 steps to victory. Number one, admit that I'm powerless. Number two, believe that God can and will win the victory. And so number three, seek Him in every way possible. Number four, just do what He says. Number five, watch Him win the victory. And number six, acknowledge and bless the Lord for the victory. And when we do that, brothers and sisters, we'll get to do it forever. How are you doing with that? If you're going to be using a songbook tonight, would you please pull that out now? If you're going to be using the songbook, it's number 837, I Need Thee Every Hour. I need Thee Every Hour. You know, the amazing thing about some of this is that I know at times in the past when I've taught on things, I know I've had a little bit of a skewed perspective, but it's amazing how many of our songs actually teach it right. Like, I need Thee every hour. I remember one time I was preaching a series on prayer, and we were actually doing it kind of like a workshoppy Bible class thing, and I don't remember how this statement came up, but somebody in the audience said, you know what the problem is? The problem is that we're always asking God to do things for us that we should be doing for ourselves. And I remember when he first said that, I thought, yeah, man, that's right. Wow. But then I got to thinking about that a little bit more, and I was trying to list those things. So which of those things would that be? Which of those things? And it got me to thinking, do you think that you're here today because you're so talented at breathing in and out? It's by Him that we live and move and have our very being. And so if we want victory, we've just got to turn to God. Because it'll be by Him that we live and move and have our very being. And I have to admit that there is no hour when I've got it covered. Hey, God, you can take a break with me for now. I've got it covered for the next 6 hours. It's just not going to work. Trust me, if you say that to God within the next 6 hours, you're going to fall. I need thee every hour. Becoming a child of God, being baptized for the remission of our sins, is not a declaration of, hey, God, I got this. It's a declaration of, dear Lord, I need you. I can't remember if I've told you guys this story before or not. I'll probably say it a lot. I remember one time I met a fellow who had decided to become a Hindu, and I asked him, why? Why have you decided to choose Hinduism? He said, well, I wanted to be a Christian, but I am not good enough to be a Christian. And I didn't know what to say to him. I was just like, oh, well, that's not true. But I thought later, I realized, I hope I get the opportunity for that to come up again sometime, because I know the answer now. The answer now is, I'm not good enough not to be. I'm not good enough not to be. I need Jesus every hour. I'm not here tonight because I'm trying to impress everyone with going to church twice on Sunday. I'm not here tonight or any time because I hope if I go to church enough, God will say, yep, you were good enough, come on in. I'm here because, like you, I need the Lord. And this is where we meet him. And so when this opportunity is available, if I'm able, I'm going to take it. Because if I'm going to win the victory, I need the Lord. Do you need the Lord? Are you in the Lord? Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. The question is, will you admit that you need him badly enough to be baptized into him and let him take over? If you're ready to let him take over, or if you need help in whatever way spiritually, won't you please come forward right now as we stand and sing?